We'll go back to Ezekiel, but we're going to go this time to chapter 20. We're going to go to chapter 20 on our study and walk. And the study tonight is study 101 on the word walk. And sometimes we get into it pretty heavy and sometimes we don't. But as we go through the Old Testament and as we look at some of the history that we have here, it is a great thing to go back and to look and to put a little time and study into it and get involved with some of the things that we've read but haven't studied. And you know, there's a great difference between reading and studying. So, with that said, the study is 101, as I said, and this is September the 7th, 2016. And we'll get involved with Ezekiel 20. And as we get involved here, this is a study that I had read some years back, but I really didn't realize, to come to realize until I got involved in it this week, that Ezekiel has so much to say about the coming forth of Israel from Egypt whenever they went into the wilderness. And there's a note in the CV that says that Ezekiel says more about this than any other book, with the exception of the Exodus, where you find it being put forth. And I think that's true, because I think the comparison here in this sense is one that where the Lord is doing away with those that were in Jerusalem and that area there, and moving them out and giving the land rest for these years. But you know, there's a comparison there to what had happened in Egypt there, when God went in to take the children out of the land. And some of the things that are said here, I think we need to go back and look at, and maybe, you know, bring it up to date a little bit. And just to see the comparison of the two events, and to realize that what Ezekiel is telling these elders here, and they have come to see him again, evidently, and what he's telling them there is, of course, what Jehovah wants them to know. But Jehovah is really upset because they keep coming back to Ezekiel for tidbits of information to try to straighten out what they're getting from the are there, but those prophets aren't called of God. And so these prophets are telling these people that they're not going to be there long, evidently, and that they're not, you know, they're still going to be around when God calls his people back. That's just not the case, because it was kind of like the events that happened in the wilderness when the people murmured against God, and he had to take action against those older folks that are over there, and that was one of the reasons for the 40 years trek along in the wilderness, when it really wouldn't have had to happen. But yet it did, because that's the will of God. So let's get involved a little bit and see where we go here. And we'll see. start in verse 1, and Ezekiel is a pretty long chapter, and so there's no real hope of getting through it today, but at least I wanted to get through. The first segment of this thing is in kind of in three sections, and again, when you go back to look at three again, you realize it's the stamp of God involved in the word here concerning the number three. And so we're going to deal with the first section in particular tonight, whether we get involved any further. Just how long the time we have to do here in the study. Okay, and we'll just go ahead and get involved in 20 with 21 verse 1. And it said, and it came to pass in the seventh year, in the fifth month, and in the tenth day of the month, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord and sat before me. And of course, this is Ezekiel talking here. And if you will, turn with me back to the, if you have a companion Bible, you already have one, baby. That's all I can give you right now. Turn with me back to the first of the book, and on the page there where it says the structure of Ezekiel, on page 1105, you see a listing down there of times and dates in the years in Ezekiel. And it says that there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 there that deals with the prophecies that were uttered before the fall of Jerusalem. So this is pretty much where we are before the big fall of Jerusalem, before it is completely desolate. You find here that if you look over to the year over there, it is the fourth one down, and it says 482 B.C. So we find that not only is it 482 B.C., that is the yeah, 482 B.C. And in the fifth month of the year would be our month of August. And, of course, it talks about the 10th day of the month. And, that's really not all that important, other than the fact that we're talking here that it was a total fall of Jerusalem. And it talks about the word there in the 10th day of the month, that certain of the elders. So if you go back to verse 1, is the word 582 in the Strong's, and that's the word enoshi. It means, basically means men in general. So these men that had come to Ezekiel were probably not all of the elders, but evidently it was a group of elders, because it says certain of the elders of Israel and came. And I looked up that word came. I thought it had a certain affinity to our word walk there, but when you look at that, it's 925 in the Strong's, and it means bright. And I would assume that that meant bright ones. certain of the men of Israel, the bright ones, came to inquire or to ask of the Lord Jehovah and sat before me, or gathered, if you will, before Ezekiel there. And that pretty much covers verse 1. Verse 2 says, then came the word of the Lord unto me, saying, and we've seen this over and over again in the writings of Ezekiel. It says, then it came to pass, the word or the voice of the Lord Jehovah unto me, Ezekiel, speaking. And so the voice of the Lord spoke unto Ezekiel to give him further enlightenment upon how he was to deal with these individuals, with the Enoshi, these men. And then we get into verse 3, where again it goes back to the same sort of thing, and it says, son of man or son of Adam. And I know this is not the 35th time that it's occurred in the book of Ezekiel, but it's the 35th time that we have used it in our study. So we have skipped chapters where it was there before, I'm sure. And he says, son of man or son of Adam, speak unto the elders and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, are ye come to inquire of me? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. So Ezekiel is there to answer them, but not Jehovah himself, because they are still dealing with these false prophets, and the one that's filling them with things that are not true, evidently. And isn't that the way it goes? When you speak for God, then they are those who will say they're speaking for God. So he is telling Ezekiel here, son of man, speak unto the elders, or speak with or on my behalf to the elders, these men, and say unto them. And I want to also look at the note here that is also in the CB there. It says, the elders of Israel in the captivity, who were being, the elders who were in captivity were being deceived by false prophets who predicted a speedy return. So it was pretty evident here that these people weren't getting the true words from God, so I guess they were bright enough to come to Ezekiel to inquire through him. And so the question was asked by Jehovah. It says, thus saith the Lord God, and this is Adonai, Jehovah's oracle. And so it is a question. He says, are you here or are you come to ask or to inquire of me? And that inquire there is 1875 in the Strong's, and it's Darash. Darash. So he says, I will not be inquired of you, by you. This Darash. So they were really concerned about what Jehovah was doing in this sense. And so he says, as I live, saith the Lord, and here again, he swears by himself. And if you can't believe God, then who can you believe? He says, I will not be inquired of by you. He's not going to listen to their seeking and asking. He's going to tell them, they're going to have them told what his will is at his convenience or at his time. It is not their time to ask, evidently, at this point in the game here. And so we get to verse 4. And so verse 4 is, again, he uses this word, the Son of Man, again. He says, will thou judge them, Son of Man? Will thou judge them? Cause them to know the abomination of their fathers. So here is a double expression used. Will thou judge them, Ezekiel? And this is the 36th time that he calls it the Son of Man or the Son of Adam. And this duplication here is for emphasis. And
you don't go back again.
And it is a word called epizeuxis. Epizeuxis. And it's there for emphasis. And it says, will thou judge them or cause them to know the abominations of their father? So he says, you going to make them understand the abominations? The abominations there is 8441, and that is to Abar. And it means the disgusting abhorrences that they're putting forth, that they have put forth in their idolatrous worship. It is something that God truly and surely looks down upon. It says, coming from their fathers.
God, in your bed, you'll be sleeping the night.
Yeah. So, he is saying, make them understand about these things that they have seen and about the things that they've picked up from their fathers. You know, seems like all children everywhere have picked up the things from their fathers and quite often there are many things that the fathers really don't want them to know. But in this case, they saw this idolatry. They saw all of this going on within their household, or even within the temple, because Ezekiel has been carried to the temple area, and he's been shown the things that they did in the temple area. And God says, I can't use any of these people. I'm going to send them all away. And certainly that was still on the mind and in the heart of Ezekiel as he is dealing with these individuals and the Lord giving him the things to say to them. And he also says, and say unto them, or speak unto them, thus saith the Lord God, this Adonai Jehovah. He says, When I chose Israel and lifted up my hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I lifted up my hand unto them, saying, I am the Lord your God. So he's going here all the way back to Egypt when they were getting ready to come out of Egypt and to come across or come through the Red Sea into the wilderness. So he says, speak unto them, thus saith the Lord. And let's go to Exodus and just see for a minute what he did say. Let's go to Exodus 6. Turn with me to Exodus 6. I think it's on page 80. Yeah. I want to look at Exodus 6 for a minute. And we're going to read verses 2 through 8. Because sometimes we get involved in study and don't really go back and come up with some of the things that we really need to know as we go through here and to refresh our memory on them. In 6:2 it says, And God spoke unto Moses, and said unto him, I am the Lord. I am there. You see that I am? That's what he told him in the bush. You know, when Moses said, Who am I going to say told me or sent me? And God said, Tell him I am sent you. And so in verse 2, we find this I am again. And it's not the only time we're going to see it, you know, as we go down through this.
Are you logging with that computer?
No, ma'am.
Okay, I didn't want to make sure.
And he says, And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah, was I not known to them. So he says, in the note there, known is perceived or understood. The name Jehovah was known as the covenant name, but was not known so as to be understood. So we find here that he says, But by my name Jehovah was I not known unto them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage wherein they were strangers. You remember when Abraham toured the land, he went through the land as a stranger. And he says, And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. There again, it is plain and clear. I am is the Lord. I am the Lord. And I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord, your God, which bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it to you for an inheritance. I am the Lord. So you see over and over here, he mentions that I am the Lord. And so that is where we're coming from when we get back to the fifth verse of Ezekiel 20. So,
I need pain them so I can go to bed.
Honey, I give you all the pain pill you can get right now. So he said in Ezekiel 5, let me find it. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day when I chose Israel and lifted up mine hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob, and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I lifted up my hand unto them, saying, I am the Lord your God. So you see, when he was there, and he remembered his covenant that he had made with Abraham and his seed, he said, and lifted up my hand. He said, I swear or swore. You know, when we do an oath, a legal oath, you're asked to raise your hand and to swear. So here again, he is reminding them that he had raised his hand unto the offspring of the family of Jacob. And we all know who Jacob was. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And so that makes great sense there. He says that he lifted up his hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob and made myself known unto them. And he made himself known unto them as Jehovah, the covenant God for them. He said, in the land of Egypt, in the country of their captivity, because they had been a long time in Egypt. And we read over there in Exodus 6 a while ago where he said, he had heard their murmuring. And he does. He does hear. And he says, when I lifted up my hand unto them, I swore unto them that I am, the great I am, the Lord Jehovah, your God Elohim. It doesn't get much better than that. In verse 5. So we covered a lot of ground there in verse 5 concerning those that were in the land of Egypt at that time that he chose to bring them out. Verse 6 says this, in the day that I lifted up my hand unto them to bring them forth of the land of Egypt, into a land that I had espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. So in verse 6, he goes on to elaborate about the preparations that he has also made for them in this situation. In that day, or at the time that I lifted up my hand, I swore an oath unto them or before them to bring or to move them out or away from, forth, or to bring them forth out of the captivity of the land of Egypt into a land. And this land here is 776 in the Strong. And it's Aretz. Aretz. And if you look at 776, it means good or firm earth. That I, Jehovah, had espied for them. So, he had been over there and searched out this land for them, and that's 8446. Espied is the word tor, T-O-O-R in the English. And he says, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. Milk is the staff of life for the infants, and is represented here, representative of that here. And of course, honey is also listed there too. And without bees, you can't get the blooms to turn into fruit. And fruit is the staple of all people, or for all people. And the beauty there is called the gazelle. It is the glory of all lands, and a gazelle is a beautiful animal. And it's represented that way there. So, folks, I guess I'm going to have to cut it short tonight because my man is in some pain, and I need to put her to bed. She was going to try to stay up, but she is not able to continue on. And we're just not going to get very much done in the shape that she's in tonight. Let me go ahead and close in prayer, and we'll pick it up next time here and go on. We'll just have a short study. So bow with me. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to come to you and call upon your name. And Lord, to give you the honor and glory of our life. And for each and everything that we read and understand, Lord, that we see that you have left for us in your history. Ask you to guide and bless us as we take care of business here at home. And do the things to get our family in the bed and doing the things that needs to be done. Lord, guide and bless and be with each and every one that needs a touch. And we just realize and understand that there are many there that need the blessing from you. Go with us and watch over us. Thank you again for being with us and excuse us for cutting it short. Lord, it is so distracting when it comes this way. God bless. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. And thank you. And I'll unlock the mic.